Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. How well are you coping with the hot weather? The last few weeks have seen a lot of hot days across eastern and southern Australia. And again, as I'm recording this, we're looking set for another few really hot days. And I guess that when those first hot days happen every summer, people always start to talk about the weather. And they talk about how much they love the heat, or indeed how much they hate the heat. There really isn't much we can do about controlling the temperature. But it's important to think about how the impact of temperature will influence what we do every day and how we go about the business of agriculture, particularly what are we going to do when it gets hot. One of the things about heat is that it can have a rapid and sometimes even a fatal effect on both people and livestock. So before we get too far into an Australian summer, I thought it was worth taking the time to touch on some points that you should be thinking about to prepare yourself and your livestock to manage those days of extreme heat. The impact of hot weather in Australia is really quite frightening. I was looking at the Bureau of Meteorology's website, specifically at one of their new forecasting tools, which allows them to predict a heat wave. The Bureau describes a heat wave as being three or more days where both the maximum temperatures and the minimum temperatures are unusual for that location. And I guess that's the important thing. It's making sure that the temperatures are unusual for the location that you're in. The other important thing about a heat wave is that it includes both the daytime and the nighttime temperatures, and they have to be well above normal for that location, and they have to extend for a period of three or more days. A single hot day, even if the night is a little bit hotter than usual, doesn't really count as a heat wave. But if it is extended over three or more days, then officially it becomes a heat wave. It's actually really interesting to understand how the Bureau determines and forecasts a heat wave. Basically, the Bureau looks at the forecasted maximum and minimum temperatures for the next 3 days and compares those 3 days against the recorded temperatures for that locality over the past 30 days. They then actually compare the forecasts against what would be the normal temperatures you'd expect to see how unusual those 3 days might be. I guess what that means is that as summer heats up, we could expect the temperatures will actually go up a fair bit. So towards the end of summer, heat waves are actually hotter and much more intense than they might be at the start of summer or at the end of spring. And it also means that temperatures are going to be adjusted for particular localities. So if you're living in Hobart or Glen Innes, your temperatures and the effect of a heat wave might actually be a bit different to someone looking at temperatures from Alice Springs or Dubbo. The other thing, I guess, is that as summer comes along, we tend to start to adapt to those temperatures. And as the days get warmer, we start to adapt to our heat a lot better. It also means that as summer continues and the days warm up, we start to adapt to the heat. And so regularly recalculating the forecasted heat against the averages makes sure that the Bureau is actually forecasting heat waves appropriately and in time to allow us to actually start to make a few plans so that we can cope with what is about to happen and make sure that we've got plans set in place to manage the effect of heat on us and on our livestock. I like the fact that we can actually start to schedule our work around predicted heat temperatures. And scheduling our work is really important when you think about routine management activities like mustering and yard work, or against moving livestock by transport. Now, if you're listening to this in your car with the air conditioning on, you might already be thinking, well, what does it matter? And I guess that most of us working in agriculture or working outside know that it gets hot for days on end. But what you probably don't appreciate as much as you should is that more lives are lost in Australia from heat than they are from any other natural event. And that to me is really quite frightening. I guess that when you think about it, heat is one of those silent killers where we don't really think about why people are sick or why they pass away. Sadly, in 2009, for example, The Victorian bushfires saw 173 people lose their lives. That was horrible and horrific, and it happened in a very, very unusual and frightening environment. Sadly, the loss of life from events like a bushfire capture people's attention. So the Victorian bushfires, 173 people sadly lost their lives, and that was a tragic event. So heat and the effect of a heat wave is definitely not something that you can take lightly or be blasé about. And my first big tip is to keep monitoring the Bureau of Meteorology's website and particularly start to pay attention to the heatwave service. If you look at that, you can start to plan your weeks and your events and your management activities accordingly and not risk your own health or the health of your livestock. Because after all, heat isn't as dramatic as what we might see in a bushfire or a flood or a cyclone, but it's probably much, much more deadly and have much, much greater consequences to you and to your livestock. So let's talk about some of those specifics working with livestock and avoiding the impact of heat where you can. The basic points to consider are that the times that you could be actually out working with your livestock. We all say to avoid working with your animals in the hot part of the day, and that is going to be really essential. If you have to go out and work with your livestock, do it at the cooler parts of the day, earlier in the morning or later in the evening when the temperature is really starting to fall away. Don't think about mustering cattle, because one of the things about moving cattle around is that you actually increase their body temperatures. Now, I saw some research not so long ago when I was looking at heat that moving livestock around can increase body temperature of cattle anywhere from about 0.5 degree to 3.5 degrees. Now that's a really big increase, because that temperature increase really then starts to impact on the animal's ability to breathe properly and even to just cope with normal conditions. So placing extra pressure on your animals by mustering them, particularly when it's hot, is a real risk issue for your livestock. It's also really important that if you're mustering cattle and putting them into stockyards, to not pack them in too tightly. Animals need to have a bit of room and a bit of air moving around them to dissipate the heat that they have coming off their bodies. If you've got them packed into yards very close that are dusty with no shade, with the sunlight reflecting off bare ground and metal rails and all the other things that go with cattle yards, you're actually adding to your cattle's heat load. And your ability of your animals to cool down is really going to be compromised. So if you have a heat wave predicted, avoid mustering your cattle. If you have to have them in the yards, spread them out as much as you possibly can so that they've got airflow moving across their bodies to help reduce their heat. Try and avoid putting your cattle into yards if there's no shade, and definitely don't put them into yards if they don't have access to water. If a heat wave is predicted, I reckon it's probably better to avoid mustering and putting off that routine job and avoid putting your cattle into the yards until the heat wave has actually passed. Your livestock must have access to plenty of good quality water. They need to know where the water is, and they shouldn't have to walk too far to get to it. So if you're putting stock into a new paddock, do it well before a heat wave arrives. That way your stock will have a chance to work out where the water is and where they need to go to access it. You don't want them trying to find it and doing unnecessary walking and searching in the middle of a heat wave. So plan ahead. You should be also thinking about putting your livestock into paddocks with plenty of shade. Paddocks that have got a single tree in it probably create more problems for your stock than solve anything, because all your stock will pack into that one tree's shade and actually increase their heat load because they're all packed in a small area to try and access the shade. If you can, I would think about moving your cattle or your sheep into paddocks that have got plenty of trees, and even if it's necessary, breaking your groups of cattle or your groups of sheep up into smaller groups so that they're not all packed in one big mob around a bunch of trees, but they'll spread out a lot more. So take some time before a heat wave arrives to maybe think about breaking your mobs up, spreading them out so that they can spread out and share the shade without overheating each other. If you have to transport animals, again, try and reschedule your transporting to avoid predicted heat waves. It's worth planning much shorter trips. And if you have to truck animals, I would suggest that you reduce your trucking density to about 80% of what you normally would do. That way, your animals can get a decent airflow around their bodies as the truck's moving, and that will help them dissipate their heat. But again, If you look at the Bureau's website, you'll be able to look at what's predicted and start to reschedule your program accordingly. And I think that that planning and that rescheduling is really going to be important. If you have to do it, okay, transport your animals earlier in the day or later in the day when it's cooler and go again for those reduced densities to help make the most of that airflow when you can. I'd also really love you to start planning around the stock that you have as well. Think about the stock that you have on hand. Remember, like people, some animals will cope with heat better than others. Animals that are at risk, fat cattle, fat sheep, lactating animals, or dark-coloured cattle, have much more difficult times during hot weather than lean cattle or dry stock. So I would encourage you, if you have those sorts of animals, to plan around shade areas, access to water, and making sure that those animals have got the opportunity to cope with the heat a little bit better. So if you have to prioritise shade areas, I would be giving preference to the lactating animals or the ones that are at greatest risk. If you've got newly shorn sheep, for example, think about the fact that they're probably going to be much more likely to get sunburnt and they will need access to shade more than maybe woolly sheep might. A couple of other things to think about. If you're actually hand feeding at the moment or putting out feed for stock, consider changing your feeding times around so that you're feeding either much earlier in the day or later in the day. If you are feeding roughage like hay or silage, just remember that the digestive process that your animals will go through actually generates a lot more internal body heat. So the last thing you want on a really hot day is your stock to be internally heating themselves up as they digest hay or silage. So if you need to, reschedule your feeding till much later in the day. Your animals will cope a lot better with that heat, even if they are a bit hungry for a little bit longer in the day than you'd normally like. If it helps them cope with the heat a lot better, to my mind, that's the first priority. If you're running an intensive system like a dairy or a feedlot, remember that heat can cause massive issues in those sorts of systems. At the very least, you'll see drops in production because your animals won't feel like eating. They'll be finding it difficult to dissipate their heat. And they're often in environments where there's a lot of reflected heat as well as the ambient temperature from that heat wave. So you really need to think about the impact that heat might have. A drop in production you can probably cope with. But at the extreme end, livestock will die from heat. And nobody wants to see that happen. So think about making sure you've got some shaded areas. It's probably worth using sprinklers across your yards as much as possible, and that can often make a big difference. And if you think about combining sprinklers and shade and spreading your animals out so they're not packed in and closely confined and allowing airflow to move across your animals, that will make a big difference to your animals. Combine that with changing around your management practices as much as you possibly can. Avoid working with your animals after, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, and don't start working with them again till after 5 at the very least. It's often a lot cooler as the sun goes down, and this is probably a time when you should be thinking about working with your animals again. Dairy Australia has a great website called Cool Cows, and it's got lots of useful tips for dairy producers, but I guess if you had cattle in general, you could look at some of those tips and probably modify them for your own operation if you needed to. And Meat and Livestock Australia have also got a terrific publication to help manage heat load in feedlot cattle. And I reckon both of these are sites you should look at as soon as you get an opportunity, and definitely before the next predicted heat wave. And lastly, don't forget the impact that heat will have on yourself and on your working dogs. On a hot day and during a heat wave, I reckon you should give yourself and your dog the day off. And if you both have to work, well, wait till it's cool. Do it early or do it late. Make sure that you both have plenty of water to drink and drink fairly frequently. So let's face it, your dog's the one that's going to be doing all the work. So why don't you make sure that he gets plenty of breaks, lots of water, and if he is really starting to look like he's doing tough in the heat, knock off work and give him a chance to cool down. Even if you have to put him in a water trough or into the dam just to wet him down and let him cool right off. And when it's really hot, think about knocking off altogether for the day. And whatever you do, don't leave your dogs tied up on the back of a ute, and especially don't leave them tied up anywhere near the sun. If you have to be driving somewhere and you have to take a dog with you, make sure you park in a shaded area and make sure that you leave some water for your dog on the back of the ute so he can have a drink while he's waiting for you. But I reckon that if the heatwave's been predicted, it's definitely worth waiting for a couple of days and not doing any work and give yourself and your dog a few days break in the cool. I'd really like you to spend some time having a look at the Bureau's heatwave information. It's freely available and it's quite useful in helping you do some planning and to think about what strategies you would need to employ to manage yourself and your livestock when the next heatwave occurs. There's really no point being out in the heat, and neither you nor your animals really need to be out there working when that's happening. So plan ahead, stay in the shade, drink plenty of water, and wait till it's cool to get your jobs done. If you plan ahead, you really don't need to be out there. Now, if you've got a few tips on avoiding the heat, keeping your livestock cool, you can always share them with me on the Rainer Ag Facebook page. You can just like Rainer Ag on Facebook and share your tips with me there. Or if you'd like to get in touch with me through my website, it's www.rainerag.com.au. You can always send me a message on Twitter at alrainer302. Thanks for listening. Stay cool, and I'll catch you next time.